Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Dear citizens of the kingdom of God, throughout history, men and women have asked a number of big questions. And it really doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what color your skin is, or what period of history you live in. Pretty much everyone has asked these big questions. These big questions are universal. People have asked these big questions and come up with many different answers. And I wonder if sometimes the world's answers colors our answers to the big questions. So today we're going to look to Jesus for the answer to one of the big questions. With the rich ruler, we're going to ask Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" At this point in Jesus' ministry, he's nearing the end. He's soon going to be going down to Jerusalem to die. But before he went to Jerusalem to die, it seems that Jesus did some ministry in an area called Perea. It's on the east side of the Jordan, so opposite the city of Jerusalem, on the east side. Jesus felt it was necessary to preach the gospel and do some ministry here before he died. And it's here that this rich ruler comes to Jesus and asks him the big question. The rich ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And right away, I think Jesus' response confuses us. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." That's kind of confusing. It seems like Jesus is saying that he's not good. And it also seems like Jesus is saying that he's not God. Last time I checked, we teach in this church that Jesus is both God and that he's perfect. So how do we reconcile these two facts? We need to keep in mind the context. That's how we reconcile this discrepancy. Right now, Jesus is not making a doctrinal statement about who he is. He's not teaching about his nature, about who he is. Rather, he's dealing with this rich ruler pastorally. This rich ruler has a problem, and Jesus loves this man, and he wants to help him. He wants to correct him. This rich ruler has a flawed presupposition. You see, he thinks that Jesus is a good man, but just a good man. He thinks Jesus is a good teacher, but just a good teacher. This rich ruler is looking to Jesus as someone who can tell him the good things he has to do to get into heaven. This rich ruler thinks that there's certain criteria that he has to meet before he can get into heaven, and Jesus is the one who can show him those criteria. So Jesus challenges this flawed presupposition right off the bat. He says, "Why do you call me good?" Essentially, Jesus is saying, if you think that I'm just a good man who can tell you the good things you got to do to get into heaven, then you're mistaken. Because no man is good. Only God is good. Jesus challenges this man's false presupposition right off the bat. And then he goes on to show him why his thinking is flawed. Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. Outwardly, it seems like this rich ruler was a pretty moral person. He had not fallen into some of the sins of the flesh that the commandments condemn. So he's looking to Jesus to confirm him in his self-righteousness. He's looking to Jesus to say, "Yeah, you've done all these good things. You're going to heaven." And so Jesus sets him up so he can lovingly knock him down. Jesus goes on to say, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." The ruler had done a pretty good job at keeping the commandments. But there was one commandment that he had a problem with. Commandment number one. He had a secret idol in his heart. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. So Jesus calls this man out on the carpet. He says, "Okay, so you think you're pretty good. Well, prove it. Prove that you have kept the first commandment. Prove to me that you love God more than your wealth. Give it all away. And then come follow me." And just like that, the man's self-righteousness is smashed. The Bible says, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to give up his wealth. He was a breaker of the first commandment. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. Jesus has essentially answered the man's question. The man asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus tells him, "Nothing. You're already messed up. You're a breaker of the first commandment. You can't enter eternal life." And then Jesus drives home his point with an analogy. He says, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those are some harsh words. It sounds like Jesus is saying it's impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Some people try and soften Jesus' message by adhering to a different interpretation. Some people say that the eye of a needle refers to a little gate in the walls of Jerusalem. If the main gate was closed, like when a traveler came at night, they would have to use one of these side gates. If a traveler had a camel, he would have to completely unload the camel. The camel would have to get down on its knees and kind of scooch and squeeze through that small gate in the side of the wall. It was hard for a camel to do, but it could be done. And so people use this interpretation to say that, yeah, it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, but if they get rid of their love for wealth, they can do it. It's hard, but it's not impossible. But the problem with this interpretation is that those little gates didn't exist. There is no evidence to suggest that there were these little gates in the side of Jerusalem's wall. Not only that, but more importantly, Jesus goes on and he tells you what his point is. Later on, he says, it's impossible with men. Jesus is trying to tell you that it is impossible. That's his point. He's referring to a sewing needle here. You know, a needle you use to stitch together clothing. You all know how big a sewing needle is. A camel stands at about 7 feet tall at its hump and can weigh about 1,000 pounds. So is there any way that a camel is getting through the eye of a needle? No. It's impossible. The crowd recognized this. They recognized that Jesus was saying it's impossible to get into the kingdom of heaven, and they're brought to despair. This is what our gospel says. Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" In Jesus' day and age, rich people were thought to be loved and blessed by God. If a person was rich, their wealth was evidence that God loved them. He blessed them here while they were on earth. So the people conclude, well, hold on. If it's impossible for the loved and blessed people to be saved, then it's certainly impossible for me to be saved. And Jesus confirms this conclusion. He goes on to say, it is impossible with men. Jesus has answered the rich ruler's question. The rich ruler says, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Nothing. It's impossible." Things haven't changed. It is still impossible with men to enter the kingdom of God. It is impossible to inherit eternal life. And it's impossible because there's something you and I lack. The rich ruler couldn't enter heaven because he had a secret idol. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. What's your secret idol? Many of us may not even know it because we haven't been called out on the carpet by Jesus. But what is the one thing that you would be unwilling to give up? If Jesus came here today and said, "Leave your job and your home and come follow me," would you be able to do it? If Jesus was here today and said, "Give up playing golf with your friends on Saturday and come follow me," would you be able to do it? If Jesus was here today and said, "Never watch football again and come follow me," would you be able to do it? The thing is that we are all breakers of the first commandment. There are things that we have loved more than God. So it's impossible for us too. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, like the rich ruler, we need to change our presupposition. We need to stop looking to ourselves for salvation and look somewhere else. And Jesus tells us where to look. Jesus says, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Jesus makes it possible. The reason it's possible with God is because God is good. Jesus is God. God is good. Therefore, Jesus is good. Jesus took on human flesh and he came to live on this earth. And while he was on this earth, he never had a secret idol. In his heart of hearts, he perfectly loved, honored, and respected God the Father above all things. Jesus was never an idolater. Through faith, you have that perfect life. The Father only lets perfect people into heaven, people who have kept the first commandment perfectly. Through faith, you have Jesus' perfect life, so you have that ticket. When God sees you, He sees a perfect keeper of the first commandment. Eternal life is yours. Jesus has made it possible. Don't look to yourself and make it impossible. Look to Jesus and make it possible. After bringing the crowd to despair, Jesus goes on and comforts them with this thought that it is possible. I've made it possible. Peter right now is terrified. Peter says, "We have left all we had to follow you." Peter's thinking, "Hold on, Jesus. You just said it was impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we've left everything we had to follow you. And even we aren't going to enter the kingdom of heaven?" Seems like Peter missed it when Jesus said it's possible with God. So Jesus comforts Peter and the other disciples with the knowledge that it is possible and it is sure that you are going to inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." Jesus tells the disciples, "Don't worry. I've made it possible for you. You're going to inherit eternal life. You believe in me. That's clear because you've left everything you had to follow me. Because you believe in me, because you have my perfect life, you're part of God's kingdom. And you receive blessings here on this earth, and it's sure that you're going to receive eternal life. Here on this earth, if you lose your family, you receive a new family of fellow believers. Here on this earth, you receive the peace of knowing that you are perfect because I made you perfect. Your sins are forgiven. And ultimately, you're going to receive eternal life. The impossible has been made possible, and I've made it sure." That's what Jesus says. Brothers and sisters, we are the ones for whom the impossible has become possible. We are the ones who believe in Jesus, and by believing in Jesus, we receive His perfect life, and we receive all the blessings mentioned. We get peace and forgiveness here on this earth. We get a new family of believers, and it is sure that we're going to heaven. Now that the impossible has become possible, do the impossible and get rid of your secret idols. Ask yourself, what is the one thing in my life that competes with Jesus for my love? And then seek to get rid of it. We can get rid of our love for money because of the extreme value of our Savior. We can put our love for our hobbies below our love for Jesus because Jesus loved us more than anything. We can put our love for our family below our love for Jesus because Jesus has given us a new family of believers. What must I do to enter the kingdom of God? Nothing. Jesus has made it possible for you. We don't get into heaven because we're good. We get into heaven because we have a good Savior, who's God. Amen.